Thank you very much, Marnie, for the warm welcome, and thank you for the warm welcomes in the chat. It's really wonderful to see people from all over the world, and I'm really happy that there are many people here from Europe still and from the UK. I almost came an hour later myself, were it not from an extra prompt from Sangha Live yesterday. So it's easy to miss that. So as Marnie said, it's a kind of appropriate time to be contemplating time and timelessness. I hope this hasn't caught out too many folks, but as she says, this will be recorded and people can always join later for the Q&A as well. So really, very warm welcome to all of you. It's lovely to see some friends, people I know in the chat. And also, if we haven't met, it's nice to also always nice to connect with new Sangha members or Sangha members that are new to me also. So very warm welcome also if you're here for the first time or here with me for the first time. I'm joining from Oxford in the UK. So the theme for today, time and timelessness, which I find a really perennially fascinating question. But we're going to begin the session as usual with a period of meditation. Rather than starting to think too much about this question, let's just jump straight into our experience. So I invite you to make yourselves comfortable for a half hour meditation. Just choosing a posture that will be supportive for you to be physically comfortable as much as possible and also awake to your experience. So settling in to your chosen posture now. And you can maybe take a few deep breaths and allow your eyes to gently close or rest your gaze from your screen at least. And just start work right where you are, just noticing how it is in the present moment, how the body feels, the space that you're in. Maybe you've come from a very busy day so far and you just kind of screeched to your meditation station, or maybe you've had the chance to just be sitting and chilling a little bit before the practice started. So just notice and receive whatever's happening right now in your own system. And this is right where we'll start, just feeling our sense of here-ness, of being here. Perhaps particularly feeling the support of the ground underneath you. Through your seat or cushions. Noticing the footprint of your body on the ground where you're in contact. And feeling the different textures of sensation. Letting yourself rest into that support. You might feel the softness of your body against the firmness of what's underneath you. Subtle vibrations or temperature. And just check that you're balanced in relation to that support of the ground. So if you're upright, just let your body ease, feel its way into a comfortable uprightness where your spine is self-supporting or supported by the seat behind you. Let your face and shoulders soften. And tuning into the felt sense of your whole body present here. You might feel the subtle changes in body sensations as the body breathes. Touch of air on your skin. Just resting into this sense of being here and now. Seeing if there's some aspect of that, maybe that's the connection of the touch of the body with the ground. The movement of your breathing. The resting of the hands on your lap or on your body. Something tangible that tells you you're here. That feels comfortable to be with, maybe even pleasant. Maybe giving yourself permission to enjoy whatever's pleasant about your practice. Just inviting yourself to stay here, to rest here. Just awake to the sensations of being here. Nothing else to do. And approaching this practice with a sense of friendliness, of curiosity. There's nothing to get right. It's curious. Let yourself even be playful with your meditation. And then you can include in your sense of being here now the sounds that may be around you, close by and further away. Just letting them come to you, just receiving sound, including that. Alongside, among the body sensations, the breath. Maybe noticing what's the furthest sound that you can hear. Noticing the silence between and around the sounds. If it's very quiet where you are and there's not much sound, what's the furthest silence you can hear? So feeling, sensing the spaciousness of awareness that includes all these sounds and these sensations. So it includes whatever sensation is supporting you to be here now. you're resting, predominantly resting your attention with. But it includes all these other experiences besides. It's letting them come and go. Resting into this spaciousness, this spacious awareness. Soft, awake presence. How big is this present moment? How long is it? You can notice how different experiences, feelings, sounds, and sensations come and go, but awareness is always present. And just stay here, resting in that awareness. Those thoughts come, you might notice thoughts coming, wispy thoughts or dense thoughts, kind of concrete thoughts. Just let them come and go also in the spaciousness of your awareness without either picking them up or trying to stop them or get rid of them. Memories or thoughts about the future or what's happening now. Noticing how these thoughts that come, thoughts of the past, thoughts of the future,
are actually happening now. They're events in the present moment. And you might actually feel the thinking process in the present moment. Maybe there's an impulse or a bodily sensation or internal conversation that gets started. And just notice all that's happening right now. So just including that in your spacious awareness, what's happening now? Oh, thinking. And some of these thoughts will pull us away or rather absorb us into them. And if that happens, just notice, okay, that's what's happening now. I'm absorbed in a thought. It's as if awareness shrinks itself into the thought. You can notice when that happens, it feels like this. This is how it feels now. And very gently you can expand your awareness to see what else is happening. Oh, body's breathing. I feel the ground underneath me, these sounds. So you can zoom out again into this more spacious sense of presence. If we can just rest here now. Soft, awake presence. Where is your attention now? Just noticing. You can notice if the thought arises, how much longer do we have? I wish the bell would ring, or actually, I wish the bell won't ring. I'm really getting settled and comfortable here. The temptation to look at your clock and just let yourself notice those thoughts arising. It's another event in the present moment. Just let yourself be here now. Just simply this moment. take a little stretch, move a little if you need to. So I'm very curious to know what, or to hear if you have any reflections or experiences that you want to share from that meditation, or any questions prompted by the meditation itself. But before we come to questions, to offer a few reflections on this subject of time and timelessness. So you're probably well aware and notice that when we come to meditate, we're stepping into a very different relationship to our experience from most of our ordinary daily life, and that we're coming out of what is often a mode of driven doing, more into a mode of simply being, kind of pressing the pause button or slowing down. And, you know, often our ordinary life can feel like it's just one thing after another. But here we get this opportunity to pause and recover some sense of spaciousness. And I acknowledge that it's not easy to do, especially, you know, in a half hour in the middle of the week or even at the weekend. But it's a really valuable, valuable thing to do. And when we tune into the present moment, we kind of realize that our ordinary experience of time as something that's endlessly flowing forward at a regular pace, kind of clock time, is just one way of perceiving things. Or we kind of reminded of that more viscerally. So, you know, time is a great mystery. And to inquire into it experientially is actually to inquire directly into our experience, into life itself. And I think that's why it's so fascinating. And time has been measured differently throughout history. So I only became aware recently that I think until they started having clocks for train timetables and things, that the day was divided into 12 hours according to sunrise and sunset, certainly in sort of previous centuries in England. So the days in the hours in the summer were longer than the hours in the winter, for example. Yeah. Also, you know, people didn't used to talk about something taking 15 minutes. There was a time in England when people would say, "I'll see you in a Paternoster," the length of time it took to recite the Paternoster prayer, "Our Father." You know? So time's been measured differently throughout history. And I don't know about you, but especially, you know, I didn't used to, and I still do wonder, you know, how different life forms experience the sense of time. You know, does an insect that lives for a day or two, how long is that day or two to that insect, and how long is each moment? So it's wonderful and fascinating to kind of speculate philosophically about time like that, we don't want to, or I'm not so keen to try and have a philosophical debate about it or have the last word on it, but really to learn more about life, to use this interest and this inquiry into time to wake up a little bit more to life as it's unfolding. I came across a quotation from William Faulkner that says, "Clocks slay time, clocks kill time, slay time. Time is dead as long as it's being clicked off by little wheels. Only when the clock stops does time come to life." So time is experienced differently by us at different times of life. You might have noticed that when we're often as children, time seems much longer. See, it feels much bigger. And as we get older, our birthdays come round faster and faster, and our friends' birthdays come round faster and faster, and it seems that time just speeds itself up. I think that some of this is to do with the sense of curiosity that children have, and the lack of, or the relatively short amount of self-story and worries that they're carrying. And so there's more attention is just connecting with what's happening now. Whereas as we get older, there's more and more story and history and anxiety. And so we're less present and time speeds up. But we also noticed when during the pandemic, you know, when our regular routines were disrupted, the sense of time kind of shifted with that. There's this whole period, I know a lot of people have commented on it, where we kind of lost our sense of time because some of the regular reference points kind of went missing. Sorry, I have some notes here which I need, and didn't plan this terribly well in the notes sense. Apologies. And one of the reasons, or the things that prompted me to think about this topic also, was that when I was asked by Sangha Live about what I wanted to talk about, was during the time when the Queen had just died. And it was as if the UK went into a kind of pause period. And we were, a lot of people, a lot of us, and certainly the media were much absorbed into contemplating this particular life and kind of remembering and contemplating the significance of this life, and the sense of time shifted again. Also, when something really occupies our attention in the present moment, when we are really absorbed into something that we like to do, or something that's particularly challenging, like rock climbing, or perhaps singing or dancing or sport of some sort, when we feel really completely present, the sense of time maybe stops. We become less occupied with the sense of time. Or when we find ourselves really feeling a sense of connection in or with the natural world. So when I first discovered Dharma practice or meditation, when I was about 17, I first went to a Buddhist monastery, and that was my first introduction to mindfulness. And it was a real revelation to me to have my attention directed into what's really happening right now. And it was as if life suddenly became richer and more awake, more alive. It was as if I was looking at experience kind of in cross section rather than lengthways through the story of what's happening. So the first time kind of people have really directed me to my immediate experience and encouraged me to be interested in that. And it reminded me of a couple of moments that that really stood out for me in life before. And many of us have experienced these moments where time seems to stop. So remember a time in the garden as a young child where time just seemed to stop. And I had this sense of everything around me being completely perfect. And then I lost it. And I didn't know how to get it back. But there was that sense of, a moment outside of time. And I remember also having a similar moment or experience going to the ballet, going to a ballet and with a really beautiful music and some really mesmerizing dancing and just feeling kind of transfixed and as if time had taken on a different quality. So there's this interest in meditation in directing our attention to the present and the present moment and investigating what's there. And first of all, you think, or one thinks, maybe without, you know, considering it too much, oh, I know what the present moment is. It's that moment between the past and the future, where the past turns into the future. It's just that midpoint. The red dot on my Google calendar, you know, that moment of transition. But when we really look for it, we can't catch it or pin it down. When you look in your meditative experience or your contemplative experience, we find it just slips through our fingers. So if we want to really refine it and find where exactly is the present moment? Some of you may have been to Nathan's sessions this week, Nathan's daily meditations. I came to a few of them, and there was one morning where he was talking about time and talking about a musician being asked to find the middle of the beat. And where is the middle of the middle of the middle? It becomes a smaller and smaller thing. But the present moment, I would say, is not something that's infinitely small. It's actually infinitely large. And this is what I was trying to point our attention to a little bit through the meditation instructions. So eternity is not endless time, time without end, but timelessness. It's what contains our different experiences of time. And I would say it's neither static nor empty. So Ajahn Chah, the great Thai forest monk, Thai forest teacher, he would liken the mind that's at rest to still flowing water. So there's a perfect stillness, but it's also moving. And like eternity, awareness is always present. And it can embrace the experiences that arise and dissolve into it. And I think we, you know, it was when, particularly in these moments of noticing, contemplating birth and death, that we kind of reawoken to this mystery of eternity. So death and birth are kind of momentous events, momentous, important, significant, often accompanied with a lot of sadness or a lot of joy, in the sense of a new birth, but they kind of wake us up back to the mystery of life. And yet they're events in the present moment. And And birth and death, or birth, we often talk about life as if life and death are two opposite things. But my teachers would always point out that actually birth and death are opposites. Birth and death are one end of something, but life is continuing. It's life is that in which these things are unfolding. So one can think of death perhaps as, you know, it's not the end of life. It's just the end of a particular expression of life, which is anyway always changing. So again, when the Queen died, just to take this example, because it's been very, you know, shared and, you know, much reflected on in the media, there was all these questions. Well, who really was she? What did she really mean? And who was she? And it's impossible to pin it down. You know, at what point was she most truly herself? There's this constantly changing, shifting process that somehow we all participated in that was the Queen. But we can't pin her down to a point in time or to a particular snapshot that says that's who she really was. You know? And the same is true of us. You know, who are we really? And this is where the Buddha's teaching on anatta is kind of pointing, you know, there isn't something here that we can pin down. And we have to be skillful in when we choose to apply this contemplation, because, you know, sometimes we can start asking ourselves, do I exist or don't I exist? And if we're feeling in a not very grounded, unworthy or insecure place, then starting to try and unravel our sense of self even further may not be very helpful at that time. So this is just really questions to investigate at times when they feel helpful. So Nathan also this week, he said that Dharma practice is about being present to life and experiences in an extraordinary way. And I would say it's an extraordinarily alive and responsive and kind way, an interested way. And when we tune into the sense of timelessness, it gives us the possibility of finding a new perspective on what we're experiencing and how we're experiencing it. And sometimes that perspective, it gives a sense of richness and a sense of wonder. When we're really present with what's happening, it's as if experience becomes fuller and more surprising, more full of surprises, more full of wonder. And sometimes being present feels really difficult. So it can feel constricting. It can feel challenging. It can feel frustrating. It can feel frightening. But we can always only be present. And when the present moment feels constricting, it's not really the present moment that's constricting. It's the content, it's the thing that we've got entangled with or fixated on in the present moment, because there's always an infinity of happening in the present moment, but we get, just as you know, we may have done around a particular thought or experience or a series of thoughts and so on in the meditation, we get bogged down into a particular aspect of the present. If we can keep this sense of the timeless behind the time, this sense of the space in which experience is arising, we have somewhere to turn, we have something to draw on, you know, where there's an opportunity to find space around a difficulty and to choose our response. So also, how does it help to acknowledge that thoughts about the future and thoughts about the past that we so inhabit and so believe in are events happening in the present moment? So one thing is, and we can investigate, we can see how the thoughts about the future and thoughts about the past, which we take to be so real, I totally do this too, are conditioned, very much conditioned by our mood in the present moment. Don't you notice that the future looks very different to us at different times and the past looks different to us at different times? Yeah. And our thoughts similarly about who we are, who I am, who you are also very much conditioned. Ajahn Sumedho, my teacher when I was a nun, he used to love to draw our attention in our practice and in our meditation to this, the thoughts that go something like, I'm this person born in time who needs to improve myself in this way or to do this or to do that in order to get what I'm looking for. And to really notice that that is a thought that's arising in the present moment, that we're creating ourselves in each moment. And it's not that it's either true or not true, but is it useful as a thought, as a perspective in the present moment? It's certainly not ultimately true. So we don't want to, you know, to be locked into that belief is a really painful position, or can be a really painful position. You know? Whereas if we shift the perspective into this sense of the spaciousness or the timelessness of awareness that's noticing thought, then we can respond to the thought, or we can respond to our experience. So instead of saying, I'm a person who is a rubbish meditator, or I'm the greatest meditator on the planet and I must go and look for my students, we just notice, oh, this is what's happening in the present moment and it feels like this. This is arising according to causes and conditions and it feels like this. And what is the best way to respond to it? The response may be some kindness or some perspective. It may be that we actually need to go and find more information and more guidance about our meditation, but it's not that we are some permanent being who's permanently thwarted in our meditation practice. And also our self-views and our self-judgments, you know, and our judgments of others. Can we find some fluidity around those to recognize them as conditioned? Another aspect of the ability to free ourselves a little bit from our imprisonment in conventional assumptions about time, to tune more into the sense of an eternal present, is for me that it feels actually much more connecting and connected to the idea that support is available. Now, this will appeal to some of you probably and not to others, but when we pray or invoke wise beings of the past or beings of other dimensions of existence, if you like, our bodhisattvas or wise beings of the past or whatever beings that we feel a connection with, you know, maybe it's Jesus or somebody. Actually, if we recognize time as just a particular convention, then these beings are, in a sense, eternally present, eternally available, beings of the past, beings of the future. So this might sound a little bit woo-woo. I personally am very taken with, interested in the idea of morphic resonance, Rupert Sheldrake's hypothesis about the way that memory and information travels through time, travels through nature. I really recommend that as something to explore, investigate if you haven't come across it. And there is this possibility of connecting outside the dimension of conventional time or across time with uplifting, inspiring beings of the past and so on, that we can actually resonate with the goodness of the past and goodness, you know, connecting with the support of Sangha also, and just in the way that we connect with each other's support through cyberspace as we do these sessions. Yeah. Space and time are kind of freed up. I was going to say collapsed, but I mean collapsed. You know, there's a mystery to this, how connected we all are. So we can also ask ourselves the question, how is time being shaped for us right now? So noticing the correlation between dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, and the sense of too much time or not enough time. This is taking too long. There isn't enough time. I have too much to do and there's not enough time. And this is this can be an indication that what is it that we're clinging to? What is it that we're holding on to, trying to push away? Sometimes there is a lot to be done in a small amount of time, but there's possibility to do things quickly without adding that sense of stress, the storying we have about the sufficiency or the insufficiency of time. You can only do as much as you can in the time that you have. So really wanting to just, and the time is also not on our side right now, because first of all, I noticed that there's some people who are just joining us who missed the time change. And so I'm sorry, I hope you can catch up with the rest of it later, but it's lovely that people are just joining. And I also want to make time for your questions and your comments and your reflections. I think what I want to kind of really emphasize, take home point from this evening's contemplation or today's contemplation, is the value of really recognizing, exploring, tuning into this sense of an eternal present in which all our experience is unfolding. And that's not to say that the experience that's unfolding is unreal and the only thing that's real is the eternal present. Similarly, as it's not true, it's, I think, a delusion to think that, you know, everything that's happening is all there is exactly as we see it. It's actually this simultaneity of time and timelessness, of our conditioned experience, of our what we call the conventional world and the emptiness of it. You know, both these things together, you know, this is what gives the possibility of freedom. So We'll pause these reflections here. It's a subject that we could spend a lot more time exploring, but let's see whether you have any questions. And maybe at this point also to re-mention for people who may be needing to leave now, there's this opportunity to support Sangha Live and also support the teachers, including myself, with Dana, and we really appreciate that. It takes a lot for Sangha Live to run these sessions, and also the teachers really appreciate your help with our livelihood, our being able to continue to offer this. So if you're in a position to give some generosity today, that's much appreciated, and anything that you give before midnight UK time, I will have a share of that. So thank you very much for that in advance. So let me see if there are some questions. I think there's one question here. You're welcome to type your questions in to ask a question, or just any comments that you'd like to give, anything you notice from the meditation that raised for you. And if you wanted to come on screen, Marnie will help you come on screen, or you can simply type a question into the chat. If you put them into the ask a question button below, if you put them into the chat moves too fast. I may not see them. So let's see. There's one question here. Okay, Jane, you're welcome to come on the screen if you'd like to. So just while we wait for people who want to come on screen, the rest of you can be just reflecting any questions that you might have, comments. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Jaya.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. That was really beautiful. And I have a lot of thoughts. It's very timely, as you would say. And I'll just let you answer or remark about the question or respond to it. But just to give you a little background, I am recovering from an IV treatment that I get once a month. Mm. And I want to share with you that one of the gifts of dealing with health issues is time changed completely for me. My whole life changed, and it's kind of like what the pandemic did to lots of people. But it was very, I'm so grateful because I'm very present for every moment. And everything slowed down. And when I'm doing ordinary things, I'm very much feeling the extraordinary presence of the actions or the things I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And rather than just going through life and moving fast and not being cognizant of, I just cleaned out the bird feeder and I'm really in sync with all the birds. Mm-hmm. And it's like every moment has just evolved in such a beautiful way. And it's not love being sick, but it slows down life, and it's really a magical experience.
Yeah. So. Thank you for sharing that. You know, that's a real, this is a real gift to appreciate and to experience. And I'm not that I, you know, wish sickness on anybody. And I really wish you well with your health. But it's kind of a silver lining, isn't it, in a way? Or this is why the Buddha told us to constantly be reflecting on, you know, that this is the nature of the body. And yet those of us who are not sick, we completely forget until these things happen to us. Yeah. Sorry, you're freezing a little bit, I think. But you had a particular question about the meditation? I'm just wondering whether my screen has frozen or whether it's just Jane's. Okay, it's just Jane's. Yeah, so so you had a question about the meditation and something you'd experienced that you hadn't experienced before and feeling really cold. So I don't know what it was you were experiencing, but you know, I do think sometimes in meditation our blood circulation can drop, you know, our heart rate can drop. And so that might be one thing, you know, you suddenly cool down, you need more clothing, having blankets to hand. It can also be that we get shifts in our body temperature. Okay, so I think we've lost Jane, but anyway, for the benefit of other people who may be interested in the question, I think that we can suddenly have ways that we experience the body differently, or there's a shift in our energy when we're meditating, and it's not anything to be concerned about or unusual, but just, you know, like I know some people who get really hot when they meditate, other people who might get really cold, and to just what can we do not to be freaked out about it? Okay, we might suddenly have the perception of, you know, the body becoming completely boundless or feeling it in a very different way. So this is not unusual. So I wonder whether anybody else has a question. Any more questions arising? Or a comment? Thanks, Jane. Ah, it's a very interesting comment from Marita about the timing in music differing from how a beat is perceived in Africa or in the West, because they don't have lines between two beats in African music. The result is that I would feel as if I'm always a moment late on the beat when it's only a perception from a line on a sheet of a notepaper. Yeah. It's really interesting, the power of perception in shaping our experience like that, and our expectations and our framing. And, you know, it's not to say that we should be striving for some kind of perception-free experience unmediated by perception, because perception is always present in any moment of experience, there's always a perception. But perception is another conditioned thing, and it's both conditioned and it conditions the experience. And again, it's like, you know, so we can play with perception. What way of perceiving something is going to be helpful? What can I bring? What kind of conditions do I want to bring to the way that I'm perceiving something? Can I bring kindness to the way I'm perceiving something? Can I bring open-mindedness to the way I'm perceiving something? And so forth. So. So another, couple of comments. Maureen, I am very conscious of time speeding up these days and it's causing me some anxiety. Ha, I'm just in the last week of a 3-month sabbatical. Yes. Oh. And even though I haven't worked for 3 months, I feel very tired. Yeah. So, you know, I think this is kind of inevitable. It's like that, you know, the last few days of a holiday or the last few days of a retreat. And, I'm sorry that even though you haven't worked for 3 months, you feel very tired. I think it's you know, this may be so, and we can just be aware of what we add to that by thinking, oh, I've been on sabbatical for 3 months and I shouldn't be tired. This whole sense of how things should be, which is a whole piece that we add to the present moment, we add to what's happening. Yeah. And the way that, also noticing the way that the feeling anxious and the sense of time speeding up can be a kind of feedback loop. And perhaps if we just, the more that you can just allow, we allow things to be the way they are, the less shoulding there is about how they should be. Perhaps actually some of that sense of escalation of time, or, you know, speeding up of time, actually slows down again. So I really, you know, I hope that that's the case for you. I also really wish you well as you emerge from your sabbatical, and maybe it will be different from how you expect. Yeah. And I think, yes, Patrice, I agree. It's we feel like we're living in the past or we're living in the future, but it's really helpful to remember that we're actually living in the present, that we actually, that this sense of me in the future, me in the past, or them out there, me in here, is all arising in awareness in the present moment. Yeah, and it's actually kind of good to notice we feel like we've gone back in the past. We feel the effect of the thought on our nervous system, but that's all happening now. And so there's a possibility to actually choose the response to it now. So we seem to have phased each other with these reflections a little bit. Good. I'm glad if that comment was helpful. We'll see if there's anything else coming up. We have a few more minutes. And as we can just enjoy sitting together. Feeling each other's presence. So let's just take 2 or 3 minutes together to really tune into the blessings of this time of meditation, this time of practice, this time of contemplating Dharma together on a Sunday. The goodness of coming together, supporting one another, to step out of that driven doing mode, to take a pause, to reflect on some of these bigger questions of life and what's important to us. And I really hope that you were able and that you are able to find and tune into something profoundly nourishing and enjoyable about being present when we allow ourselves to just stop. A lot of this whole practice, I think, is about giving ourselves permission to put down those shoulds, to put down those demands or these ways that we should be different from how we are or experience should be different from how it is. And just appreciate this gift of aliveness, this mystery of aliveness. And we can maybe tap into that sense of spaciousness and a timelessness in which our sense of separation from one another, a sense of separateness from those who've come before us and those who will come after us, starts to dissolve somewhat. And we can really tune in to the blessings of these teachings of wisdom and compassion, the ones that come through the Buddhist tradition that we draw on, but also any other traditions that we feel a connection with, we're connected with. All these things are available to enrich our lives and our experience. Again, when we take the time to remember them, when we're not caught up in the particular difficulty or the particular drama of what's happening now. And that's not to negate the difficulty or the drama, but to draw in other resources to support ourselves, to support us, to navigate the difficulty and the drama that's happening now. And then let's extend those blessings so we can echo them back to those who've come before us, who've come off, who will come after us, and those with whom we share this particular moment in time, the beings with whom we share this particular moment, and dedicate the benefits of our practice today for the welfare of all beings. So thank you, dear Sangha. It's always a pleasure to sit with you all. There's one more question manifested, and but we're going to be out of time. Well, it's a comment. That's okay, Larry. Oh, it's not a question. Anyway, it's more of a question, but I can't deal with that now. I'm sorry, Larry, but if anybody has more questions that come to you or that you weren't able to ask, please do share them in your Sangha Live Connect forum, and any questions can also be sent on to me. So thank you very much. Wish you all a good rest of your day and a good week ahead, and hope to see you soon again on Sangha Live. Take care.